afternoon. It's good being with you again. Welcome to the Anamaka Society. We have a nice crowd for Memorial Day. I guess you didn't have anywhere else to go. Everyone is searching for happiness. Everyone wants happiness. Even the bank robber robs a bank because he believes that the results will bring him happiness. People get married, get divorced, have children, find certain jobs, believing this will bring them happiness. We have learned as we go through the vicissitudes of life that these things bring partial happiness. Everything you do in this world is subject to the law of change. The wise person begins to see this at an early age and does not pursue the things of this world, but rather begins to try to understand him or herself. Who am I? Why was I born? What is the purpose of life? As one begins to dwell on these things, the inner guru, the self, will give you a push, and you will find that you go toward a spiritual path. If you are inclined by action, you will follow the karma yoga path. If your disposition is towards emotion, you will follow the bhakti path. If you lean toward intellectualism, you will follow the yoni path. The mistake most intellectuals make when they begin to follow the Yanamarga path is that they believe if they study hard enough, if they read so many books, if they visit so many teachers, they will awaken. This is a grave error. Most intellectuals who follow Yanamarga unfortunately became very cynical, very cold, very arrogant. They stop caring. This is only in the beginning stages. They believe that they are absolute reality and they can do no wrong. And of course they fall flat in their face soon. And they develop humility. If they keep on searching, if they are sincere in their heart, again, the inner guru, the self, will push them toward an outer guru, The allegory may be a tree, a bird, a river, a mountain, or a person. But the true devotee does not care which one comes, as long as something comes. A true devotee surrenders completely to the will of God and turns within for peace, for happiness. A true devotee begins to understand that there is only one life, one presence, one self, and I am that. When I refer to I am, I'm not speaking of Robert. I'm speaking of absolute reality, of consciousness. Of Satchitananda. Satchitananda is our true knowledge. Our true being. Our real self. We believe we're human. We go through life with problems. Some of us have material happiness, believing that's enough. But as we find out soon enough, there comes death in the family, sickness, lack. These things pass. And then when you believe all is well, something happens again. And you keep searching. You keep inquiring. If you are sincere in your quest, you will find that all of a sudden, happiness, bliss, joy, begin to become your friend. You put all your trust in the universal. You no longer look to the world for your good. For you begin to understand that the happiness you've been looking for, you already are. And the quest really begins. The yogas, prayers, meditations are a way to come to reality. But the way to understand the self is through self-inquiry, through Atmavichara. (Clears throat) if you're fortunate, you start from the top in your spiritual quest. You start from the top by realizing there's only that which has always been. There is only pure intelligence, absolute awareness. All the things I see, everything I behold is the Self. Something tells you that the whole universe is an emanation of your own mind. When you sleep, the world disappears. When you dream, this world disappears. When you awaken, you are in this world, but the dream state and the deep sleep state have disappeared. You begin to wonder about this. And you say to yourself, I slept. I dreamt. Now I am awake. Yet it's interesting to note that I was always present. I was present when you slept, when you dreamt, and now you're awake. Who is this I, and where did it come from? Who is the witness called I? As you begin to search for the truth of this, if you have been sincere in your quest, you will be led to a master, a sage, who will explain to you that the personal self is only a thought or an idea. It is called the I thought. It is not real. It's a thought. Where does it reside? In the spiritual heart center on the right side of your chest. This is called the spiritual heart. It has nothing to do with your physical heart. It has nothing to do with your chakras. This is the abode of the Self, of consciousness, of reality. The I thought appears to come out of reality. and goes to the brain. Once it identifies with the brain, you begin to say, I am. I am this, and I am that. When you form the I am, the world, the universe, becomes real. It has come out of you. Everything, the whole universe, has come out of your mind. You have created it, and it appears real. Therefore, the sage explains to you, the job you have is to trace the I thought back to the heart. When the I thought goes back into the heart center, you will become liberated. By liberation, it means you will see yourself as consciousness, and the whole world is a superimposition on yourself. You then begin to understand that human happiness ensues because the mind or the I thought goes outward, creating all of the illusions of the world. Everything in the world is transient, subject to the law of change. Therefore, it cannot be real. What is real must be permanent. And that resides within you. So you search for a method in order to trace the I back to its source. And the method given to you is to hold on to the I, to abide in the I, to trace it back into the spiritual heart. The way you do this is you inquire, who am I? To whom has the I come? What is the source of I? When thoughts come into your mind, you simply inquire, to whom has these thoughts come? Who's doing the thinking? I am. Well, who am I? Automatically, as you keep practicing this process, you find that things in this world become blissful. For you're beginning to see through the illusion you're beginning to see through reality. You're beginning to know that I am is really consciousness, self-contained absolute reality. Months go by, perhaps years go by. You do not look for results. You carry on with the practice. You do not react to conditions. Your humanhood begins to melt. You continue to identify with the self under all circumstances. The day will come when you are no longer a personality. You have become that which you've been seeking. And life becomes simple for you. You no longer struggle or fight for survival. All fear has left you. You have discovered that you are not the body or the mind, and you are not the doer. This has all been surrendered to the self. You have become free. No longer in bondage. Absolute bliss. You understand all is well, and everything is unfolding as it should. You were never born. There will never be a time when you die. You have risen. There is no longer anything you need to possess. There is no longer anything you need to own. Yet you partake of all the good things of this world. You become satisfied. Happy. You cannot explain this. You cannot share it. With those who come in your presence. Feel the grace which is always available. Yet you do nothing. There's no one left to do anything. The I has been completely transcended. There is no individuality. There is perfect peace. Always. Unalloyed happiness. Always the same. Eternal. Without modification. Awaken to yourself. What do you spend most of your time doing? You become what you do. If you spend your time inquiring, who am I? From whence does the I come? You will one day awaken. If you spend your time relating to the world, reacting to conditions, having a mind filled with fears, superstitions, prejudices, nonsense, you will go on like this until you get old and drop your body. And you will be under the illusion of calm and reincarnation. You will appear to take on body after body after body until you give up the belief that you are the body. Become free now. Do not resist. Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace, peace, peace. And if you have any questions at this time you'd like to discuss or ask, or statements you wish to make, feel free to do so.
Sir, I'm a newcomer here, and I must ask you, are you speaking in metaphors that I'm too dull to pick up? Because you make life sound like such a burden. And I look out this window at this beautiful illusion, and I think that that satisfies me. I need nothing more at this time, this place. I envision myself riding over those hills on my horse or taking a swim, well aware that everything we see is a pattern of energy or quantum particles in constant change. The trees are growing and decaying and growing and decaying, and the water is flowing. Why should we look beyond that?
That's a very good question. As you look at the trees, as you swim in the ocean, as you ride your horse, that's all well and good. But what if the horse trips and you break your legs?
That's happened.
What if you walk down the hill and you stumble and hit your head in the rock?
Well, that's...
And you go blind. Is that all there is? Is that it? When you look at the leaves, when you look at the flowers, they last for a time and they die, just like the human body does. Therefore, for every enjoyment, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The way of this world is duality. If you experience one, you have to experience the other. We seem to be happy at a time because things are going our way. We're so-called enjoying life as it appears. But then there's a war, or there's a death, or something comes along and spoils the enjoyment. We then become disillusioned. For the thinking person, the question arises, there must be something else. This beauty that changes cannot be all that there is. And we start to search within ourselves, for that's where the answer lies. If we are sincere, we begin to understand that there is a substratum of existence, which is bliss, and which makes this appearance of beauty seem like kindergarten. The rishis of old have told us this. Great sages have taught us. Do not go after the beauty of the world, for that only lasts for so long. Find the beauty within yourself. Find the truth within yourself that is forever. The real beauty within the self does not stop at death of the body. It's a continuum. It's forever. When you awaken, you see the world as a superimposition on yourself that comes and goes. Think of yourself as a chalkboard. and someone is drawing all sorts of scenes on the chalkboard. Happy scenes. Then they're erased. Unhappy scenes, and they're erased. And this continues over and over again. But what happens to the chalkboard? Nothing. It remains forever the same. So it is with the self. The self is absolute consciousness, pure awareness, nirvana, absolute reality. You are that. It is you. There's no coming and going. There's no change. If you touch a semblance of this in your heart, you will feel such joy that you will search forever for the truth of your being. And then you will truly find happiness.
It's this, the further is the experience, you have the body. The body is no different from anything else. I think we're picking on it.
Excuse me, I didn't get the question.
She said she thinks we're picking on the body. The body is like everything else. Which is quite true. The body is like everything else. It's transient. It's impermanent. It becomes old. You drop it. And that's the end of that. So there must be something else for the thinking person.
It does not keep you from awakening. It's not the fault of the body if we don't awaken.
Only if you identify with the body and you believe your body is the permanent self. That keeps you from awakening because you have chosen to believe that something that is transient, something that is never the same, is reality. But how can anything that changes be reality? You're not the same person you were 40 years ago. When you were born, you were no larger than the size of a pinhead when you were first conceived. And then you turn into a little girl and a young lady, and you got married and you had children, and you've gone through all kinds of experiences. Changing, changing, changing. Never the same. How can this be real? It stands to reason that that which is real must be eternal, permanent. So the body can never be your reality. Use your body for what it came here to do. You have your body in order to find yourself, to discover who you are. If you were a tree or an animal, you would not be able to do this. But because you have a mind and a body, so it appears, you're able to discover your true nature. So use your precious time to awaken, to realize the truth about yourself.
What becomes of that inner core that you speak of, the real part of your being?
Nothing. It doesn't become anything because it never was anything.
Well, it must be something.
It is not something. In our finite thinking, we believe that everything must be something. That's our ego that tells us this.
How do we grasp it?
By turning within yourself. By diving deep, deep within your heart. By inquiring, who am I? By looking at your thought patterns and questioning, to whom do these come? Every time you have a thought, You ask, to whom does this come? It comes to me. Who am I? Who is this me? And as you question, who am I? The space between the question will begin to grow. And you'll begin to experience moments of bliss, of total joy, total freedom, and they will go away. But once you experience and once that touches you, that total bliss, you will never go back to your humanity again, for you will want to taste this forever.
Is that self separate from yourself or herself?
No, it is yourself. What appears to be yourself is called Maya. It's an illusion, it's a thought, it's an idea. Like the water in a mirage. When you see the water in a mirage, it appears real. When you run over and try to grab it, you get a handful of sand. But yet it appears real when you look at it. And so it is, the body appears real when we look at it. But in reality, it doesn't exist. It never existed. And neither does the world. It's like a dream. When you have a dream, the dream has no beginning, no middle, no end. It doesn't start from Adam and Eve. You just dream in parts, and then you wake up. The difference between this life and a dream is that this life is a little longer. That's how it appears.
But is it practical?
Of course it's practical. It is, definitely.
How can we at any time ignore the realities of this world? We're going to get run over in an intersection.
That's not going to happen, because your body will take better care of itself than you can ever want it to. When you begin to search for yourself, when you begin to try to understand yourself, your body is not going to go to sleep or become dull. The same power that grows oranges on an orange tree, that grows wheat in a wheat field, will take care of you and will take care of your body. Your work will be done better. Everything you do will be more efficient, because you will no longer interfere with it. So you can keep your mind on God or yourself, and your body will continue to do what it came here to do. Try it. You'll be surprised.
Robert? Can I ask a theoretical question?
Of course.
This idea of the no thing and it's a mirage, which I try and grasp a lot, and I kept thinking, if I come over and pull your ear and it hurts, is that my illusion or is that yours?
Imagine you're having a dream, and we're sitting here like this, and you say, Robert, I'm going to come over and pull your ear.
I'm going to make it hurt, though.
So it's a dream hurt. It hurts in the dream.
But it's my dream.
You're dreaming the dream that you're coming over and pull my hair.
How are you taking this?
I am part of your dream. So it hurts.
But it's hurting you.
Of course, because I'm part of the dream. I am in the dream. I am involved in the dream.
No, that's your dream, but it hurts you.
No, it's not my dream. He's dreaming the dream. There's only one dream.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt his ear. It hurts yours. That's
because he's pulling my hair.
It doesn't hurt him. It's not his dream. It's your dream.
Nobody said it hurts him. Of course it hurts me. Because that's part of his dream. And let's say you came over in the dream and said, Bob, you're dreaming that you're pulling Robert's hair. he would say, no, I'm not. And I would also say, no, I'm not, because it hurts. So it's not a dream. But then he wakes up and it's all gone. The whole thing was part of the dream.
How about if I pull my ear and it hurts me? How does that, what does that mean?
There's no difference. It doesn't mean anything. You can be dreaming and shoot yourself in the dream. Pull your hair in the dream. Pull somebody else's hair in the dream. All of that is going on in the dream, but then you wake up. And so it is with this. Everything here seems to be real. And some of us doubt, some of us are angry, some of us want to get even, some of us want to prove something. It's all part of the mortal dream. One day you will awaken, it'll all be over.
Do you mind if I pull your ear?
Well, no, I don't mind. You can pull my ear.
Oh, there. Who created this dream?
No one. It doesn't exist.
Takes care of that.
Then what do we wake up to then?
You wake up to the self. That you are nothing. And that nothing is bliss consciousness.
Then what do I need the body for? And who gave me the body?
No one gave you the body. And you don't need the body. The body is an illusion. It's a thought. It's an idea. It appears to be real, just like in the dream.
Because of the pain feeling. Feeling the pain. And
whatever you feel makes no difference. You can feel happiness. You can feel pain. You can feel wonderful. You can feel anything. It's all part of the dream. But when you wake up, it's over.
But what do we wake up to? That's what throws me off. Like, okay, I'm dreaming right now, and let's say in my dream, I see this room, and I see everyone here, I smell the food, and I look at the candles and the pictures in my dream. And then I wake up, and what do I wake up to?
You wake up to bliss, the consciousness, to absolute reality. The finite cannot comprehend the infinite. The mind can only think so far. It is virtually impossible to explain what bliss really is. You have to experience it for yourself.
But does it come in little parts, or does it come in a big chunk?
The true awakening comes all of a sudden. But prior to that, there are little instigations. There are little realities that you begin to feel. That you know there's something more vast and more beautiful than you can ever imagine.
And then, will it stay with you or will it leave you?
The real self, the real bliss, has always been you. Therefore, once you experience it, the you is gone. And you have become reality. That is permanent. Once the I, the me, the you has been transcended, there's no coming back. You are free, forever.
With the body, you can be free.
You no longer look at your body as the body. The body is simply the part of the superimposition that's on the self. It's like the world. You still see the world, but you're like a mirror, and everything is a reflection. If you try to grab the reflection, you grab the mirror. But you are the mirror, so you are the self. And you can't be grabbed. You are totally free. Pure awareness. And your troubles are over.
How do we know the bliss is in part of the dream? What's the difference? I mean, the rest of it's okay too.
The difference is, when you awaken from your dream, you realize that the dream is over. in the same instance when you awaken to yourself.
Well, I'd still be dreaming.
No, you know you're the self. When you awaken to your dream, are you still dreaming?
Yes, when I'm awakened in my dream and I'm still dreaming.
When you woke up this morning and you had a dream last night, you weren't still dreaming.
No, but I had that dream where I waked in the dream, but I was not awake.
Yeah, of course. But then when you woke up in the morning, you were aware of your dream.
Yeah, how did you know that's not another dream?
When you awaken to yourself, there will only be the self. There will no longer be dreams or a dreamer to have a dream.
We don't know that. We're just trying to say.
And experience it for yourself.
Well, until we do, we're just taking your word for it.
Don't take my word for it. I never told you to take my word for it. I usually tell you, as you know, in the beginning, do not believe a word I say. Why should you? Have your own experience. Find out for yourself.
I don't know.
Find out, practice.
I do, but I still don't know for sure.
One day you will. Never give up.
If spirit never sleeps, what is it that wakes up?
If spirit never sleeps, what does it wake up?
Mm-hmm. What is it that wakes up?
Nothing really wakes up. Because in reality, nothing was ever asleep. We use these terms as a metaphor. Sleeping, waking up. You are that self that has always been, and will always be, and will never disappear. That's your reality. You never were asleep. Therefore, you don't have to wake up.
Isn't it the
I thought
that wakes up,
Robert,
in the morning?
The I thought doesn't wake up. The I thought disappears.
No, I mean in the morning.
Oh, when you wake up in the morning, yeah. The I wakes up, the I comes out of your chest, your spiritual heart, and begins to become the world, your mind, and the universe.
So it's the mind that wakes up, the memory wakes up.
The I thought appears to wake up.
Yes.
And that causes the world. Do we have any announcements, Ed?
No, I think Karima has an announcement. Karima?
Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
And just when we get ready to eat, if we could try this time, because we had so many traffic jams last time, try creating a line and lining up and just, you know, going through, and maybe that'll make it a little faster than everybody going from different angles, and we can line up going maybe that way and coming at the table from that end, and then come around this way and that way.
And then what happens after eating?
Well, there's something before eating.
There's a prasad before.
There's something before eating.
Yes.
I think I need to know. There's people, we want people to come up to Robert. We're going to be handing out some few things before actually eating.
And that'll take
you
about 10 or
15 minutes. Well, as soon as people do it, they can go around
and
start
doing going to eat. And then afterwards we'll have entertainment from a few people in the group. We're
going to
be performing some of their own stuff, their own songs, and that's about it.
Thank you, Karina.
When we ask who am I, and we stay silent, we don't try to answer it.
Yes.
Exactly what ensues then? You just completely try to release everything into the silence, just completely release our attention.
When you ask who am I, and if you answer it, it is the ego answering. So in order to destroy the ego, you pose the question. And you wait. You pose the question and you wait over and over again. You ask, who am I?
What if there's no thoughts to inquire of?
Then you keep still. and you observe, you watch, the I will one day disappear. And when that happens, your true self will shine forth abundantly.
Do we try to release our attention from the brain?
No.
I mean, just completely let go and relax and see. And because I noticed that when I am silent, completely silent, that my attention, instead of being focused, kind of falls down into the heart area.
It happens by itself.
Yes.
If you try, you'll keep it back.
Yes, when I try, I just relax
completely so
that there's no focus of
attention. Yes, you let go.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
Yeah. Then there's like a feeling of a pressure on the right side.
Yes.
That's good.
That's correct.
Okay. We have, excuse me, we have some pictures of Robert, and I'll put them over here by the table, by the lamp. And if anybody wants them, write on the back your name, and there will be some charge for printing, I'm sure, I don't know what it will be, but there's some new pictures. So,
Robert, what happens after that? After this, I mean, you let go, and then you feel pressure on the right side, what do you do after that?
The inner self is pulling your mind towards an annihilation. And once your mind is annihilated, then you are yourself. So you simply observe, you watch, you do not react. If any thoughts come, you ask them when they come. And then you go back to who am I. And you let nature take its course.
So the whole inquiry then is just to help you stop identifying with the I thought and start identifying with the silence.
The whole inquiry is to destroy the mind, to destroy the I and the ego, which is all the same. And as you continue to inquire, the ego and the mind become smaller and smaller until they become completely annihilated. You're doing well. Keep it up.
You did say there's no dream. Did I understand you? There's no dream to wake up from?
There's no dream to wake up from because you never dreamt.
Hey, well, it's all okay, huh?
Everything's okay just the way it is.
Not only just the way it is, but however it may go, without exception.
Exactly.
Still okay.
It's all okay.
There isn't anything except okay.
Right.
That's far out.
That's the way it is.
Right. What did you just say?
People come on up.
Okay.